Okay, please, everyone raise your right hand. Thank you. Keep it up there until I get the script. All right, here we go. We're going to take the me and only me pledge. Okay, put your hands down. You look silly. All right, here it is. Here's the pledge. I will only think about me in this series. I will only attempt to apply the truth of this series upon me. No one else but me. This is all about me. And only me and my big fat mouth. Agreed? Okay, this is not about your neighbor. It's not about your wife. It's about you. It's about me. So my big fat mouth. I mean, it's like complaining or criticizing your son in front of the entire church for being slow on PowerPoint slides. It's like complaining about your last church and how they were so wrong. It was about gossiping about someone in your present church who you think is mean and has no right to be that rude. It's about lying about the attendance of when you started to be the pastor here. For a long time, I said, when I talked to people about Northway, I said, yeah, you know what? My first Sunday were 35. That's not true. That's a lie. I've been lying about the attendance. There were actually 49. And so I criticize, I complain, I gossip, I lie. And God has dealt with me on every one of those in the last couple of weeks. However, today I don't want to talk about criticizing or complaining or gossiping or lying. But before we tackle complaining or criticizing or gossiping or lying, I first think we need to simply just close our traps. Do you know that my mouth traps me a lot? And if my mouth was closed more often, the highest percentage of my big fat problems would be solved. When I close my trap, it's interesting how my ears open up. When my trap is open, almost everything else in my life is shut down. Proverbs 13:3 says it. Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I mean, in a conflict, think about this. In a conflict or in a disagreement or in a confusing situation, our posture closes. We get defensive. Right? We just kind of defend ourselves. Our posture closes. The distance closes down. We want to get closer to the person we're in conflict with. We don't want to run away because that's cowardly. We want to get closer to them. Our hearts and our minds, they close down. And here's the reason why. Everybody wants to be heard and understood. And so when I don't think you understand me, when I don't think you hear me, I talk louder. I try to talk over you. I use more hand motions. I step in. I step up to you in order to be heard and increase the chances of being understood. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know if we can be honest yet, but let's be honest. Let's try to be honest. That when you're in an argument, when you're in a disagreement, very early on in the disagreement, do we ever really care about there being an agreement? Then there comes a point in the argument where you throw out agreeing, and all you want to do, all I want to do is be heard and understood. I just want you to understand what I'm saying. Honey, but what I'm trying to say, you're just not listening to me. Who cares about a solution? Just watch 10 minutes of Fox or CNN. Nobody cares about a solution. They just want to argue. What if we lowered the volume by 75%. And I'm not talking about just volume of your voice. I'm talking about the volume of our words. If you're a 7, 8, or a 9 talker, how many 7 or 8, 9 talkers do we have? What if you became a 2 or 3? Linton, you can't raise her hand. We took the pledge. This is about us. She was like, what if I became a 2 or 3 talker and not a 7, 8, or 9 talker? Almost everything about the conflict, about the disagreement, even about the outcome of the situation would change. Everything would change if I went from a 7, a 8, or a 9 to a 2 or 3. And so today in this series, it's not going to be super profound. Actually, I'm going to admit to you that it's not even super original with me. I'm taking a lot of what I've heard other people say and other authors and other speakers and other preachers have said. This message right here, today's message, is adapted from a message I heard from Andy Stanley from North Point Church in Atlanta. But what's most important is not that you think I'm really cool and creative and my sermons are really awesome. What's most important is that the Word of God transforms our lives. That we look at the Word and we are impacted by the Word and we become more like Jesus. That's what's most important. Not that you think your pastor's cool or that he's really a good preacher. So when we look at the Scriptures, we want to see what God has to say to us. And so today we begin in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James is the brother of Jesus, and his sole goal, James's sole goal, was to help people become more mature, more grown up in their faith, more balanced in what they believed about the relationship with God. And so it says in James chapter 1, verse 19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. There's some good stuff from James. He's saying, listen, brothers and sisters, take note. Everyone's included. Everyone. This is exclusive. Inclusive. No one is exempt. Now, here's the thing. Everybody wants the other person to be quick and slow. I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak. I want everybody to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Matthew 7:12 says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Church, it's about us going first. What you want other people to do, we ought to be doing first. But the issue is human nature is stiff. Do you believe that? I am stiff. I'm stiff with my opinions. I'm stiff with what I believe. It's stiff with what I say. I'm stiff in what I do. I have an opinion about it. And the reason why I'm stiff in my opinion is, number one, I might just be impatient. I'm not really willing to make an investment in you. I want just me to prosper. I want me to be in the spotlight and get the credit, to be the center of attention and to impress you. That's why I don't care what you think. That's why I don't want to listen to you, is because I want you to listen to me, because I want you to like me. I want you to be impressed by me. The other reason why I'm stiff and I don't listen to you is because I don't respect you. If you don't listen to somebody, you're demonstrating to them that you don't respect them, that they have less value in your mind. You know, when you look at your kids and you say, I know what's right. I have all the answers and you're stupid. I don't need to listen to you. And that goes the other way, right? So when you have your sandwich and then you have an elderly person that you're caring for, you just kind of dismiss them too. It's like, No, I know what's best for you. And so we don't respect them. And maybe the biggest reason why we're so stiff in our opinions is because we want to be right. I want to be right. I know I'm right. But James says, be quick to listen. How do you get quick to listen? That sounds kind of odd. How are you quick to listen? I think what James is saying here is he's saying that in sequence, of most importance, this is what you ought to be doing. Relationally speaking, before you do anything else, this is what I want you to do. So when you're in a relationship, the first thing you ought to be doing is be listening. I love this quote, or maybe it's not a quote, it's just a sentence I read, that there was this great linguist, and he was giving this great lecture on the most important thing he understood about language, and he said this, I know how to be silent in 7 different languages. That's profound. I'm working on 1. Church, what if we knew how to be silent in 7 different languages? Quick to listen and slow to speak. Andy Stanley actually says that the description of this is the word slow is wait and be late. Wait and be late. When it comes to talking, wait and be late to talk. Be tardy. My kids are tardy to school every day. We roll up to the sock late every day. We know how to be tardy in the Greco family. So we need to be late. We need to be tardy in talking. How does that work? How are we tardy in our talking? And then when we do talk, we need to be curious, just like Jesus was curious last week on the road to Emmaus. He asked all these questions of these two guys. He knew the answer, but he wanted them to know that he was listening. And church, we know that we can't listen when we're talking. Or even when we're thinking about what we're going to say. Now, you know that, right? Like, even though when you're not talking, like, I'm talking to Janeda, and I'm already thinking about what I want to say back to her. Like, she's talking, I see her lips moving, but I'm thinking, like, what am I going to say back to her? I'm not listening to her. That's why most conversations are fruitless, because everybody's talking. Nobody's listening. That's true in God's Word. That if we're constantly thinking about our own thoughts and our own behaviors and our own beliefs, we're not open to what God's Word is trying to say to us. And that's, church, why I think James is saying, listen, shut your trap. Both externally and internally. But Pastor, so you don't understand. My kids and or my husband or my wife or my boss is just wrong. I'm right. Like, I'm right. Why should I stop talking if I know that I'm right? I have the right answer. Friends, let me introduce you to a fact. You can write yourself right out of a relationship with your kids. Telling them that you're right and they're wrong. What you're doing is you're just pushing them away. You can write yourself right out of a job. Or write yourself right out of a friendship. Or write that employee, that great employee that you have. You can write him or her right out of the job. Write yourself right out of a connected marriage. Pushing people away for the sake of being right. Stop being right. It's cost me a lot in my life because I thought I was right. I lost a lot because I wanted to be right. The relationships that you are in must be more important than being right. Right. See, James says that you need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then he goes on and he says, You need to be slow to become angry. And the reason is that if you will decide ahead of time that you're going to be quick to listen and slow to speak, you're going to be slow to get angry. You're going to decide up front that I'm going to guard against being angry because I'm going to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And I don't necessarily think that James is saying that to slow to become angry, like he wants you to be slow in how you emote. Like slow to frown. Or slow to yell. No, he's saying, listen, the reason why I want you to be slow to get angry is I want you to be slow in making these hasty, misinformed, relationally destructive conclusions. Right? That when we get angry, when we're quick to talk and we're slow to listen, we get angry and we say things that damage people and damage relationships. I mean, listen, I might be the most impulsive person you know. And you don't even know me that well. But that's what I am. That is my MO. That is my default setting, is impulse. React and then think. We can make rash and reckless announcements that are prone to wound and provoke animosity. And sometimes, friends, we do it under the guise of Jesus. When we talk about political or social issues that we don't like, we feel like somehow we got authority to tell them that they're sinning, that they're sinners, they're going to hell, and we never remember that the relationship is more important than being right. James is telling us in these three short verses how we avoid these conclusions, how we avoid getting angry. He says, the longer you listen, the more you will learn and the less angry you'll be. I mean, think about this for a second. If you don't understand something, if you don't like what someone's saying, or if you don't like what someone's doing, if you don't like how someone believes, maybe you have the problem. Maybe you and I need to be the investment in asking good questions and learning. Because here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, it is way easier to be critical. It's way easier to be angry than to make the honest investment to try to learn and understand somebody else's position. Amen? Are you with me? Did I lose you? I lost you back at the trap. See, this is the thing I have a hard time with. Andy Stanley said this, and I believe it, but it's hard for me to say it to you. Everyone has a good reason why they believe, say, and do what they say, do, and believe. Do you believe that? Every single person has a good reason why they believe what they do. Everybody has a good reason why they do what they do. Everybody has a good reason why they say what they do. And the issue is that are we okay with that? Because when you disagree with somebody, it requires questions and not declarations or proclamations or mini sermons. Larry King said it this way, I never learned anything while I was talking. James tells us why he believes this is the best method. Why it's best to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. He says it there in verse 20. Because human anger does not produce righteousness. So this method, the reason why this method is because the opposite doesn't produce what's pleasing to God. That when we are quick to speak and slow to listen and quick to get angry, it doesn't produce the righteousness that pleases God. Losing our temper and being harsh and nursing a grudge or failing to listen are all things that will short circuit not only our spiritual life, but it will short circuit every part of our life. where have you getting angry and being quick-tempered, where has that ever benefited me or benefited you? It never leads anywhere good. Even, this is hard for me. This one's hard for me. I should have, in the past, I've actually taken a picture of myself and set it on a seat so that you knew I was preaching to myself too. Because one person's talking, 100 people are listening, I get it. But I want you to know that everyone in the room, including me, is listening. And this sermon is for everyone. But here's what I want to say to this. Even when you win, we all lose. Even if you win an argument, everyone loses. I mean, is it possible that none of us are right? I love what it says here. Look again at verse 20. Wow, these numbers are small. Hold on. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Isn't that interesting? Maybe, just maybe, what we think, I think is right, and what Susie thinks is right, may not, neither one of them may be right, and there might actually be a third right. That what God thinks, and what brings God glory, and what brings God's righteousness, is what's right. That God has an agenda that may not be true in if you win or Susie wins, that they're right. No, God is saying it's possible for neither of you to be right, for no one to win, except if God is honored. Think about that. Last time you won an argument, what did you really win? Because winning the argument has a very brief satisfaction that very quickly wanes away. Hey, I won! But now I'm alone. She left. Hey, I won! But now I've got to fix the hole in the wall. That's not my thing, but it might be yours. I'm not strong enough to put a hole in the wall. Oh, that didn't work. I'm being heckled from the front row. Yeah, right. Here it is. If you're sleeping, you want to wake up. Stanley says this. We most often want to be right at each other. I want to be right over Susie. Susie wants to be right over me. We most often want to be right at each other. God's agenda, God's third agenda, God's right agenda is that we be right with each other. Not right at each other. I'm right, you're wrong. You're right, I'm wrong. No, God is saying, listen, I don't want you to be right at each other. I want you to be, and what's most important to me is that you're right with each other. So Susie and I had an argument or disagreement recently, and it doesn't even matter what it was about. But what came out of it is God rocked me with one verse. John 15, 12 says this. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Now you tell me where you see right in that verse. You tell me where it says I've got to be right and she's got to be wrong and we've got to disagree until somebody wins. That verse rocked me. It said, listen, Bryce, it doesn't matter who's right. It doesn't matter who's wrong. It doesn't matter how many times you've argued. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All you're supposed to do is love her like I love you. And immediately, it went away. And my mind was set on loving her. The argument just dissolved in the matter of seconds in my mind, in my heart, because all I was supposed to be doing, all the command is that I'm to love my wife as Jesus loved me and has nothing to do with being right. And some of you are saying, you know what? I don't know how to do that. That's impossible. So here, Ben, Brooke, Gab, can you come up for a second? Real quick. Stand right there. Stand right there. Stand up. Come on. Quick. Let's go. It said quick to listen, not quick to move. Slow to move. Okay, so you guys hold this one right here. It's together. Okay, when we have a command from Jesus, this is how, hold it up like you care about it. Okay, there you go. So what does that say? It says doability, right? We're always worried about, can I do it? Well, listen, loving Susie like Jesus loved me, is that even doable? Can we do ability? And we get stuck here. Well, that's impossible. I can't do that. Here's what really needs to happen. No, you don't read it. You show them. Can you hold it up? Come on, hold it up. Like you care. You should have rehearsed this. Do you see the difference? I'll hold this one. Look. We're always worried about, can I do it? And Jesus is saying, just do it. Don't worry about how good you are at it. We're always about ability. Like, well, I can't do it, so I'm not even going to try. No, Jesus is saying, just do it. There's do it ability. You know what I mean? It's not about your ability. It's not about if you're good or bad at it. It's just do it. So when we talk about being slow, thank you, guys. When we talk about being slow to speak and quick to listen, well, I'm really bad at that. Jesus is saying, just do it. Just do it. It doesn't matter if you're good or bad at it. It doesn't matter how many times you failed at it. It doesn't matter that you had an argument before you came to church. When you have an encounter with the Word of God on the other side of this service, you can just start doing it. And so I'm just going to absolve everybody of all the arguments this morning. And then on the other side of the service today, we're just going to do it. Even if we weren't quick to listen before the service, even though we had a bad argument last night and she didn't understand you or you didn't understand her or this and that. No. We're just going to do it now. See, because Jesus didn't come to be right. Do you know that? Jesus didn't come to be right. Jesus wasn't baptized to be right. Jesus wasn't persecuted to be right. Jesus wasn't crucified to be right. Jesus came to bring us back together with God and with each other. And that should be our mission. Our mission shouldn't be about being right, because being right most often makes things so much better. Worse. And so in verse 21, we see James goes on. I mean, gosh, this is only three verses. I've only gotten through two verses. James says in verse 21, he says, get rid of the moral filth. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because that's what brings the right to righteousness of God. And you need to then take off, get rid of the moral filth. And the term here, get rid of, is actually like taking off the dirty soiled garment, like taking off a jacket. That some of us walk around, you won't have to admit this, I'll admit this, some of us walk around with a I'm right jacket, like it's a varsity jacket. And Jesus is saying, listen, take it off. That's not the point. Take off the moral filth. Well, gosh, isn't that a little extreme? I mean, I just gossip. It's not moral filth, is it? I mean, I just complain a little bit more. It's not moral filth, but doesn't everything that starts out with words escalate? Every physical altercation started with words. Everything begins with words. Everything begins with self-rightness that quickly becomes a moral issue. He says, take off the always have to be right jacket and put on humility, which is the opposite of anger. And he says that you need to put on humility and the word that is planted in you. Did you know that everything you need to live as Jesus commands us to live already resides in you. That it's already been planted in you. The do it ability is already there. You can do it. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and He changed your life. He forgave you of your sins. There's no reason to be right anymore. You need to simply just love as Jesus loved you. Seeking God's help to overcome our self-centeredness. Trusting that God can change our hearts. And I love this. Maybe my favorite part of this whole passage. Can we just go? Oh, here you go, right there. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you. And then here's the thing. And I didn't research this, so I'm just going to have to take Stanley's word on this. He says, which can save you. And he says that the word there is actually not talking about eternity. It's not talking about heaven. What it's talking about is that it can save you now. If we are quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, if we take off the I'm always right jacket and put on humility, it can save our marriages. It can save our relationship with our kids. It can save us from having more regrets. Save us from humiliation. Save us from acts of anger. Save us from prison. I always tell people, but for the grace of God, I would be in prison right now. No doubt. I was a terrible kid. I was like a juvenile delinquent, like to the nth degree. I mean, seriously, like I would certainly be divorced. And I would certainly be alone somewhere by myself. No one liking me. No one wanting to talk to me. I've got some bad tendencies, but God has redeemed them. I got a hearty amen from my wife. That was good. There's hope for all of us. And I'm going to prove you it in one verse. Proverbs 17:28 says, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. That makes me happy. Because I'm a fool sometimes. And all I need to do is shut the trap. And I'm halfway down the road to being wise and discerning. That's awesome. Don't settle for just being right. Make sure you make things right. I mean, isn't that what God did? Okay, so we're bringing this in for a landing. We are. Like, seriously. Here it is. Here's the runway. I see it. Isn't that exactly what Jesus was? Isn't Jesus the actual manifestation, the personification of James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21? Think about this. He came as a baby who couldn't speak. Slow to speak. Quick to listen. He took 30 years to listen. He didn't start talking until he was 30. Technically. He didn't start ministering. I'm sure he talked. But you get my point, right? I'm making an illustration here, people. Follow me. So he came as a baby, couldn't talk. Had no public ministry. One little episode when he was 12 in the temple, it's recorded. But then he begins talking at the age of 30, and people start flocking to him. Why? The Bible says that they began to flock towards him because he talked as one who had a different kind of authority. Why did he have that authority? Because he listened. These people could relate to him, and the people that were nothing like Jesus, Jesus liked. Did you know that? People that were nothing like Jesus, Jesus liked. And Jesus liked people that were nothing like him. It was the people that were trying to be like him that he didn't like. Pastor, I just really have a hard time listening. I just have to talk. So I don't know if this illustration even works, but this is my closing illustration, so we're stuck with it. Think about it this way. If somebody that you had a rich relative that died, and it was coming to the will being read, you would not be upset about how the attorney was reading the will. All you would be focused on is listening to hear what your part in the estate was. Like, all I want to hear is what was left for me. What's my legacy? And I wonder if we go into life situations and we're wondering, instead of talking, instead of criticizing, instead of complaining, instead of gossiping, instead of lying, maybe we just listen to find out what our part is in the situation. Our attention, listening to that will being read, would totally be on waiting to hear our name associated with the content of that legacy. And so my challenge is simple this week. As we begin this series, and I'm just going to illustrate it for you. Ready? Here, watch this. Here is the whole sermon. Ready? What if you did that this week? Let's pray. God, I'm not yelling. I'm just passionate. I'm not upset. I just think this is important. Lord, help me. Help me to listen. I pray that each one of us here today would be about listening this week. Lord, that we would be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry, that we could realize that it's not about being right. It's about being right with each other. Lord, I pray that you would just take these words